Trust everyone's doing well. All right. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity that you've given us, Father, to be gathered here together today, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father God, Lord, and to feast upon your word, Father. Lord, the more we look into your word, Father, we realize, Lord God, how interconnected everything is, Lord God. You are certainly, Lord, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Father. And Lord Jesus, we just pray, dear Lord, that you'd help us to understand, Lord God Almighty, this little portion for this morning. We just commit ourselves into your hands now and ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I want to talk this morning about I will have mercy and not sacrifice. And, okay. Praise the Lord. Yes. Thank you. All right. And I created that image last night by AI. But if you get far away from it, it doesn't look right. But I guess up close, you know, it looks a little better. He looks like a merciful Jesus, doesn't it? So, and the scripture here in Nahum 1:3 says, "The Lord is slow to get angry, but his power is great, and he never lets the guilty go unpunished." Now, I want you to keep that in mind. He never lets the guilty go unpunished, but yet the Lord is slow to get angry. Amen. Psalms 103, 8 through 11. "The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins." I'm reading from the New Living Translation, so that's why it may not sound like Old English. "He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve, for his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth." Psalms 145, 8 through 9. "The Lord is merciful and compassionate." We keep reading that, right? "Slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation." And then to Moses, he said, "The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out," in Exodus 34, "Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I am," this is him saying it personally, "I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin, but I do not excuse the guilty." Amen. So you can read that whole scripture yourself. Now, in Matthew chapter 12, we read a very peculiar scripture, and this is when the disciples, Jesus and the disciples, were walking on the Sabbath day, and the disciples had a need. So did Jesus. They were hungry. So they were plucking the ears of corn as they were walking through the cornfields. And so we read here, it says, "At that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were anhungered." All right? I highlighted it because that was the need at that moment. That's what was needful. That was the need at the moment. Now, I want to ask you, was that sin to be hungry? Not at all, right? It's a natural human desire, right, to be hungry. And watch, "and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him," who, Jesus, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." So now they're not looking at the need. They're just looking at the law. Right. They're looking at what is written. They don't care about the human emotion part of it. They're just looking at the law aspect of it. The law says this. You better do it. I don't care if you're hungry. It's what it says. Thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. Verse 3, but he said unto them, Jesus said unto them, have ye not read? Now he takes them back to the Word, because he is the Word. Amen. Have ye not read what David did when he was in hunger? In other words, when he was hungry, what did he do? You Pharisees who study the Word and look at it, do you remember what David did when he was hungry? And they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat, the house of God now, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. Now this is an image of David talking to that priest when he went, and he was also in hungry, because if you look back at that story, David was fleeing from Saul, and Saul was after him, and he had some men with him, and he was fleeing, and so he got hungry, didn't know where else to go, so he went to the high priest. Now, and if you read in 1 Samuel, you can read that in 1 Samuel 21. And so he went to the high priest, the priest there. His name was Ahimelech. Now, Ahimelech, he did not have bread, but the bread that was exchanging, it was being exchanged out with new showbread, because every Sabbath day, the high priests were supposed to go in there. The day before, there was showbread that was supposed to be prepared. Fresh showbread, and it was supposed to be prepared and placed on the table inside the tabernacle every Sabbath day. Now, every Sabbath day. Now, on every Sabbath day, nobody was supposed to carry anything. Nobody was supposed to do any work. Nobody was supposed to do anything according to the law of Moses, according to what God had given. But the high priest could, because they were working inside the tabernacle. And so they could carry things. Now, I'll show you here in just a moment, 39 categories of things that the people of Israel, or according to the law of Moses, they could not even do. And one of them was carrying things. So this showbread was being exchanged out by the priest Ahimelech when David came to him. He was exchanging that showbread to new showbread. And so David says, hey, what do you have there? What do you have there? Is it possible that me and my man could have some of that bread? Now, that bread was only supposed to be eaten by the high priests, or by the priests, excuse me. And they were supposed to eat it there in the tabernacle, him and the high priest. So the priest gave him an opportunity to eat of this showbread that really didn't belong to David. But because David, I'm just kind of paraphrasing the story, because we'll be here forever. And so the priest asked David, he said, have you laid with women in the last few days? He gave him a stipulation, because they could not eat of that showbread if they had been laying with women. Right. So David said, no, me and my man have not. And therefore that made David, he could partake of that. So it wasn't that David went in there and just grabbed the showbread and it just came right out. No, he asked for permission. The priest gave him the reason, you can eat only if this. He met that condition, and therefore he was able to partake of that showbread, right? Now, Jesus was referring back to this story, right? Because if you look at it from the surface, and if you don't look at those little details, you think David just went in there, amen, according to the Pharisees, and he just grabbed showbread and didn't care and just moved on. Amen. But that wasn't David's heart. And see, and what I'm talking about this morning is I'm talking about the heart. Because this is what Jesus is addressing here in Matthew chapter 12, I believe it was. So in mercy, and because David and his men had a need, and because David and his men had met the requirements, not having been with women recently, Ahimelech offered this bread to David, which really belonged to the priest to eat. This is what the showbread looked like. It was two stacks of six, which was 12, represented the tribe, 12 tribes of Israel. Now, This bread was supposed to be eaten in the holy place. David was able to enjoy this bread with the priests. I believe in that holy place. It doesn't say it there, but maybe they ate it there in the holy place. I don't know. Or it was outside. I'm not sure. But nevertheless, he was able to feed his man, and he was able to feed himself. Praise God. Now, it's interesting because Jesus brings this up. And what does Jesus say in John 15:7? If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Remember, he is the bread of heaven, right? Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Amen? And Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so you're asking, what do these scriptures relate to what I'm talking about? Amen. When you are in Christ, when those priests were free from that law of carrying things and stuff like that, when they were in the tabernacle. Outside of the tabernacle, you were not supposed to carry anything. You were not supposed to work. You were not supposed... In the tabernacle or in Christ Jesus, there is freedom. Amen. And you and I are priests. Amen. In this hour that we live in, right? Praise God. So there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Praise God. But we live by laws and regulations, and everything is do's and don'ts if you are not in Christ Jesus. But if you are in Christ Jesus, then it doesn't become do's and don'ts for you. It becomes freedom in Christ. Christ paid it all. He took the price. He did it for me, and I just have to rest in his word because he is the Sabbath, right? Praise the Lord. Now, I apologize. I'm going quickly. It's just time. You know, 25 minutes is just, it's hard, and it's hard when you're a preacher too. So Jesus continues in that scripture, and he says, or have ye not read? So he gives them another example. He says, or have ye not read in the law? So he takes the Pharisees back again to the word. He says, okay, you're sitting here condemning my disciples for taking the ears of corn and feeding themselves when there is a need. He understands what the law says. Jesus wrote the law. He gave the law. He is the law. But he's also mercy. Amen? And he understands. And so he says, okay, have you not looked at the law, how that on the Sabbath days, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Amen? And so you can read in Exodus 20, verse 8 through 11, where he talks about God gives the strict command about keeping the Sabbath holy. Amen. No work of any kind could be done at all. And it included not doing any form of work from these following categories. And I don't know if you could see that, but they could not. There was no carrying. They could not do any burning, extinguishing, finishing, writing, erasing, no cooking, no washing, no sewing, no tearing, no knotting, no untying. So you couldn't tie your shoe or untie your shoe if they had shoelaces at the time. Shaping, no plowing, no planting, no reaping. Yet that is what the disciples were doing there with Jesus when they were plucking the ears of corn with Jesus. Amen. Such activities as plucking a flower and plucking a fruit from a tree came under this heading. Amen. The same is true of mowing a lawn. It was also legislated that they did not handle any growing flowers or plants. It was also forbidden to climb a tree or smell a growing flower. A fruit which falls from a tree on the Sabbath may not be used on the same day. The use of animals as well as plants is forbidden, since there is the concern that one might forget and inadvertently pluck a branch to use as a switch, you know, for the donkey or for the horse. So they were very strict on this. But yet the disciples were doing this, and Jesus was standing right there doing it with them. And the disciples and the Pharisees, all they could do was condemn and not look at the need or the human aspect of it at the moment. Right? How many sometimes we're like that, amen? We forget that there's a need at the moment. Instead, we look at the law more and think that we're going to change someone by the law, some rule or some regulation. And you forget that there's human emotions. Humanity is attached to some of the things that we do. Now, we're going to look at a story here in just a moment. I believe we have time, of something that happened with Aaron, the high priest, in Leviticus chapter 10, and that Moses was caught up with that. And he realized that he was not doing the right thing. Now, you can read, I can give you this list there, that they 39 different things, but we'll be here for a while reading that. So Jesus says, "But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple." So he continues to tell him that in this place, there's one greater than the temple. There's one greater than what the high priest did in the temple or did not do in the temple. I am that temple. Amen. And that temple is in you now. Praise God. Jesus Christ, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. So you are mercy. You are grace. You are forgiveness. You are compassion. You are all these things that he was. Amen. You are ones that can overlook things, amen, for the benefit, amen, of for the whole picture. Amen. Sometimes, you know, the Bible says that that love covers a multitude of sins. You see? So we're not always out trying to get somebody, pointing them out. Or saying, you know, don't do this, don't do that, amen, and publicly shame people, amen. But we're out covering, amen, and making sure, amen, that they can continue on in their walk with Christ, amen. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So Jesus continues saying here, so after he said, "But I say unto you, that in this place is one greater than the temple." And then he continues in saying, "But if ye had known what this meaneth," and this is where I got the title, "I will have mercy and not sacrifice." In other words, to God, to him, is better to show mercy than to even what is written in his commandment, when the need is there. Right. And everything has met the requirements. Amen. Right? Yeah. The requirements were met, but the disciples were not sinning, but there was a need. Yes. David was not sinning, but there was a need. Amen. A human need. And so Jesus could set aside, God could set aside, amen, what he had written and look at the humanity aspect of it. And it's hard for us to do that because, see, us as humans, we like to, if it says it, then no matter what happens, no matter what the human aspect part of it is, no matter how hard you are, no matter what you're going through, you've got to do it because it says it. And that was what the Pharisees believed. But that's what Jesus was trying to take them away from. And it's easy for us humans to do that for us because we love law. But law never gave anybody the Holy Ghost. Law never gave love to anybody, never gave grace, and law always puts you in jail. Rules and regulations always condemn you, but love, amen, brings somebody in. Love always, amen, trains them in, amen. If they did wrong, amen, set them aside and say, okay, maybe we should have done it this way, amen, or things should have been done this way. Set them aside, praise God. But law never brings anything good. Praise God. And so Jesus says, "But if you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless." In the New Living Translation, it says, "But you would not have condemned my innocent disciples," talking to the Pharisees. If you knew the meaning of this scripture, "I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices." Right. You know? There's a way to do things sometimes. Amen. Where you can show love, compassion, amen. Praise God. And sometimes we just think we're right, amen, because, you know, it's the rules. And we forget the human aspect of things, amen. We forget that there's people that have feelings. We forget that people, amen, we forget that because we just like sternness and we like law. But how about when they treat you that way? You don't like it then. Oh, you like to do it to other people, but you don't like it when you're done that way. You see? So Jesus here in verse 7, he was directly quoting Hosea 6:6, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." As good as those burnt offerings were, and as needful as they were because God had commanded them, God preferred the heart of the person more than those burnt offerings. God preferred more a desire from the heart, something genuine from the heart, than following rules and regulations because God said so. But if you're not doing it from your heart, what does that matter? And if you have a nasty attitude about it, what does it matter? Amen. God said it. The rules and regulations say it. The law say it. But if it's not from the heart, it doesn't matter. It actually causes more confusion. Amen. It says, "For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day." So it didn't matter what those Pharisees who knew the law back and forth. Amen. They knew it. Nobody could knew the law better than they did. It didn't matter what they said. The law, the one who wrote the law, the author of the law, was standing right there. And he was the one who made the final judgment then. And what was his final judgment there in front of those Pharisees? He cared more about the need at the moment of the disciples than what the law said. Isn't that what happened? Even though he was that law, he cared more about feelings, compassion, amen, and about the need at the moment than what the law said. Amen. Jesus is that temple. Amen. How many believe that? Amen. Jesus is that tabernacle. Amen. Where the high priests were in there working in and out, in and out. He was a representation. That tabernacle represented him. Amen. Jesus is that Sabbath. He is our rest. Yes. Amen. Amen. He is our rest, that we can rest from our burdens. Amen. And be in Christ Jesus and rest in him. Praise God. Amen. Amen. By the baptism of the Holy Ghost, in the soul now, we are that temple. Now we are that tabernacle. Now we are not just experiencing an eternal Sabbath, but we are the Sabbath for others. Amen. We're not just a Sabbath, amen, for ourselves, but we are a Sabbath or a rest for others as well. Amen. We receive peace and we give out peace. Amen. So we should know when to, we should have wisdom on how to deal with certain things. Amen. And not think that every time you have to just be stern. It's obey the rules or else. No. Amen. Look at the compassion aspect of it. Now, Let's look at Leviticus chapter 10 real quick. We've got 10 minutes. We're looking at Leviticus 10. Now, in Leviticus 10, you can read there how the Aaron and his sons, amen, his two oldest sons, they offered strange fire. In other words, there was a fire that they were supposed to offer for the Lord, but they offered strange fire. What that fire was, I don't know, but the Bible says that they offered strange fire. In other words, it was fire that was not that was not approved by God, or it didn't come from God. Amen. It was their own thing, right? They felt like maybe in their position, they felt big. They felt that they could do whatever they wanted to, so they went ahead and just offered strange fire. And God, amen, they offered strange fire. God, with the fire that they were supposed to offer, came down and killed them. In front of Aaron and in front of his two other sons, youngest sons, who were also priests. And if you read the whole chapter, Aaron continues in the work there after he sees his two sons dead right in front of him, in front of the congregation, in front of his family is seeing this. God had just killed his two sons for not having their heart in the right place. And here is Aaron still continuing to do what he was supposed to do to finish that service, I guess you could say. You can read it yourself in Leviticus chapter 10. Moses was there behind the scenes pushing it on and saying, we've got to finish this. We've got to do this. It's about the law. It's about what God said. It's about what God said. Amen. So they finish. The Aaron and his youngest two sons, they were supposed to take the goat that was offered for the sin offering of the people. They were supposed to take it back and eat it. And that was according to the law that God had given Moses. But when Aaron gets when Moses goes back in there and says and asks his two sons, where is the goat? Did you all eat the goat that you were supposed to? Aaron tells his son, no, they said, no, we went ahead and burnt the goat. They were not supposed to do that. According to the law of Moses, they were not supposed to burn that. They were supposed to eat that goat because that goat belonged to them as a gift from the people for offering for their sacrifices, right? And so they went back in there, and Moses, he got upset, angry at them. I'm just paraphrasing this because of the time. He got angry at them, all right? And then Moses asks them, why did you not eat the goat? Why? Now, he had the right to, because Moses was representation of the law, the sternness, fulfill the law, right? And so in Leviticus chapter 10, here's Moses. He's angry. Where's that goat at? Right? In Leviticus chapter 10, verse 16 through 20, it says this. Moses then asked them what had happened to the goat of the sin offering. When he discovered it had been burned up, he became very angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, which was Aaron's other remaining sons. Why didn't you eat the sin offering in the sacred area? He had a right to ask that. That was part of the word. He demanded, it is a holy offering. The Lord has given it to you to remove the guilt of the community and to purify the people, making them right with the Lord. This is the law. Since the animal's blood was not brought into the holy place, you should have eaten the meat in the sacred area as I ordered you. Now remember last week we talked about that Moses was the word to the people, right? As I ordered you. But watch what Aaron's response. Then Aaron answered Moses, today, my sons presented both their sin offering and they burnt offering to the Lord. And yet this tragedy has happened to me. His two sons got killed. If I had eaten the people's sin offering on such a tragic day as this, would the Lord have been pleased? In other words, if I had eaten this being that I'm suffering, I just lost my two sons, Moses. Understand, please. This is what he's trying to make him understand. Aaron explains that after the tragic deaths of his sons, Nadab and Abihu, he felt that eating the sin offering while in a state of mourning would not have been appropriate. In other words, he was not doing it with his heart. He would not have been eating that goat offering with the right mind. How could you do something? It's hard to pray sometimes when you're mourning. It's hard to pray sometimes or read the word or pick up the word, amen, when you're in a state of shock, in a state of mourning, amen. But that's the part that Moses was not looking at. He was not looking at the human aspect of things. He was just looking at the law, all right? And then the sudden and tragic deaths of Nadab and Abihu had likely left Aaron in a state of shock, sorrow, and mourning. And when Moses heard this, he was satisfied, verse 20, amen. So the musicians can come up. So by accepting Aaron's response, Moses shows he can empathize with others, respect their feelings, and find a good balance between following religious duties and understanding human emotions. That's so important. It's so key that we do that. Amen. Don't live your life, amen, by just what a law says or what a rule and regulation says. Understand, use empathy and use wisdom, amen. Right. Use empathy, use look at somebody's, amen, of the outcome of what happens if I do this or act in this way, amen. The human aspect of it as well. Empathy, understanding, and compassion is more important in the eyes of God than keeping rules and regulations when the hearts of individuals who made the mistake is in the right place. And Aaron's heart was in the right place. He was not eating the meat or the thing just because he didn't want to. He wanted to disobey. No, he was hurting. He had just had a tragic event happen in his life. His two sons had just lost their brothers. And yet Moses, he understands this. Amen. Now, I'll just read this here, and we'll finish with this. Brother Branham says this. Now I said to my brother Schism, to him brother Ness, to answer your question, I said, now I do not take either sides with you, brethren, and I know as long as you fuss, you are both wrong. See, because I would rather be wrong in my doctrine and right in my heart than to be right in my doctrine and wrong in my heart. See, I said, after all, it's your heart's condition. Praise God. I'd rather be right. I'd rather have a right heart than to know everything in the Word and not have the right spirit. Know every single doctrine and every single thing, amen, and not have a right spirit. I'd rather have the right spirit. Because God can take care of the other stuff if I have the right spirit. Now, that's a quote from Brother Branham. God bless y'all. Love y'all.